This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this special, special day to be the managing partner of your life. And Carrie Kasem has the day off. She did not come in to the studio to wish me a happy birthday on my birthday. So I'm going to have to go at it alone. I'll sing myself happy birthday. I've got a little cake. I'll blow out the candles. There's quite a few of them these days. And also give myself a gift later on in the day. I'm going to get a chance to spend the day with my family. For my birthday, I am going to see the Panda 3D movie. Wow. What a way to spend my birthday so my little kids, Harper and Hudson, can enjoy the day with their daddy. And Nancy, I'm sure, is happy to go to the movie as well. But other than my birthday today, and interestingly enough, what I did this morning is I gave a talk for a number of attorneys and doctors this morning over at LAX, a hotel at LAX. I filled up my birthday with things to do. It was on a case that I won in the Court of Appeal last year, and they asked me to speak about it at a seminar, so I did that. Now doing the show and then going to see the Panda movie, what could be a better way to spend a Saturday when it's your birthday? Tomorrow's a very special day because tomorrow is Mother's Day, and we are doing a special show today saluting all of you mothers out there and the kids who love their mothers. And soon, in the next segment, we are going to have Lisa Bloom on. And, of course, Lisa Bloom is the daughter of Gloria Allred. And 3 years ago on our show, we had Gloria and Lisa on the show. And today, we are going to have Lisa Bloom with her daughter, attorney Sarah Bloom, which is the third generation of women's advocates, victims' rights attorneys. Sarah has joined the Bloom firm with Lisa, and we are going to talk to Lisa Bloom, the outspoken women's rights advocate, and Sarah Bloom, her daughter. That's coming up. And then later on the show, we are going to talk to Detective Rod Demery. Now, he also has a story about a mother and an unfortunate one with his mother. She was murdered when he was 3 years old, and he became a detective, and he has devoted his life to solving murders and helping people, victims. His television show on Investigation Discovery called Murder Chose Me is in its second season, and we're going to talk to Rod about Murder Chose Me and about what life has been like growing up without a mother because she was murdered. Now, before we get to all of that, and I do take a breath, because it is rather disconcerting, I'm going to turn to something a lot more happier because I want to talk to my mother today, the day before Mother's Day, because I am fortunate to have my mother, who's been probably the best friend that anyone could ever have. I've had her by my side. Her unconditional love and support has been something that I have been so blessed with. She's always known the right thing to say, and I don't underestimate that because it really has given me great support through the years. And I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, Evelyn Gervy. Mom, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You're making me cry.
Well, it's all
the nice words.
It's all true. You have been an incredible support system, been there through good and bad, and you've shown, you know, just an amazing ability to know what to say to make me and others feel good in difficult situations and of course in good situations. Your sense of humor, everyone here at the studio obviously loves you because when you come in to be on the show, your sparkling personality shines through. So.
Wow.
So tell, what is it? How did you become such a good mother? What, did you go to school for it? Like, how did you become this so supportive, loving mother?
It's just something that's inside you. It's, you don't have to go to school. It's not learned. It's just there and it comes out when you need it to.
Yeah.
And I have good kids, too. That helps.
Yes, you have two other kids, Martin and Gayla,
right,
who are both good
right.
kids. And how many grandchildren?
Oh,
10.
I lost count.
Yeah, the last two. I gave you two more, which made you lose count.
And I have 10.
Yeah, you have 10.
And, yeah, I haven't counted lately.
And you just had a great grandson.
A great grandson, and I'm expecting
another one. Yeah, in a month.
Oh, I'm getting old.
you're not getting old.
I'm getting better.
The cycle of life, and you had a little Benson was born last month,
yeah.
And next month
right.
we're expecting another one. So you'll be a
right.
great grandmother once again. What does it mean, Mom? Because, you know, everyone has a different kind of impression of Mother's Day and being a good mother and you know, your dedication to your children. For you, what does it mean to be a mom?
Well, it's wonderful. When you're young, you look forward to your children. And then when you're blessed with wonderful children, you try to do your best when they go to school, university, and I always was there for you no matter what, in good times and in bad.
Yeah, I remember when I was going away to college to Brown, I remember you getting up in the middle of the night and packing my bag. I had this huge duffel bag and
yeah.
you were on your knees and you were pushing things into the bag to try and make sure that I took everything so I didn't have to leave anything behind at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I was probably crying.
No, I don't think you were. And you were also
I was happy that you were able to go.
And you were putting some baking in as well. I remember you always had some food for me.
For sure. And I'm coming with some more cookies.
Next week. You're coming here next week with more cookies.
Yeah, I have baking this week.
That's good. And,
yeah.
You know, other things that I remember when I remember when I was in college and one night I had a little too much to drink and I think I felt badly about my actions and behaviors. I was feeling really bad about myself. And I remember calling you and Dad and you both were so understanding. You didn't blame me. You didn't make me feel terrible. You just said, hey, sometimes you have a bad night. And I remember you saying, oh, your father, he had too much to drink once and you should have seen how he acted. And that made...
And your mother doesn't drink. She just eats too much when she feels that way.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it made me feel good because sometimes we feel bad about things we do, and it takes a mother to put it all in perspective. And I remember thinking, okay, I can move on from this. And that's just one of the things. How do you know the right things to say?
Well, you don't know. You just try, and sometimes... It's instinct. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's hit or, you know, mother tries her best to look after the kids and make sure they have what they need. And you're there for support no matter what they do. I would be there no matter what.
And I think that's the key when you say support, because too many people don't understand that you can support someone through thick and thin, through problems, through good times.
Right.
And there's no reason to be so hard on your kids, to try to make them feel confident and competent and feel like they can succeed. And that's something that I always got from you and Dad, that feeling of you trusting me and the feeling that you had confidence in me. And that gave me confidence, which has been the key to being a lawyer and going into court and feeling good about what I'm doing.
Well, that's right. I mean, we were always there for you. No matter, that's just the key. No matter what, parents should be there for their kids.
And the sacrifices. I mean, you've made so many sacrifices for us, and that's what I truly appreciate.
Yeah, Daddy worked hard in the store, and I worked too. But
yeah.
And it was worth it. Everything's it's all worth it for your children, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I would do it again.
Wow.
And I'm still here for you and the grandchildren.
Yes, you are. You're always there for us. And you always are supportive, and you've been there and continue to be so. And I'm surprised. You know, I know you've already wished me a happy birthday earlier before we got on the air, but go ahead. You can do it on the air because you know.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alan. Happy birthday to you.
There you
go. Anymore. I just felt like singing.
Yeah, well, you are a singer. You've been involved in choirs.
Did they take me off the air for that?
No. They didn't. They didn't bleep you or anything like that. But you know, I know that it's important that we share family and good times, birthdays and weddings and anniversaries.
That's
right. We have a lot of them, and our family truly appreciates you because you have been the matriarch since Dad passed away. How many years? About 12 years now, or even more, 14 years. And you've really, you know, been the strong matriarch in the family, always holding us together. And that's something that's so appreciated from your children. And that's what a mother should be.
Well, for sure. I'm sitting here crying.
Well, don't cry. You're going to enjoy
well,
your mother.
Well, I'm happy to, you know, be with you and looking forward to
you and the family. You'll be spending some time with the family next week.
Right.
What do you have planned? We gotta move on to some other mothers. We have Lisa Bloom coming up. What do you have planned for Mother's Day tomorrow? A brunch, I think.
I don't know if it's brunch or dinner.
Well, I'm sure.
I'll find out tonight.
Yes,
I'm going out for dinner soon, but for other birthdays.
Yeah, we have our family has a busy week.
This is the birthday week.
Birthday week. So you're going out tonight, and then tomorrow you will have, I'm sure, the best Mother's Day. Thanks for calling in, maybe we called you, I don't know. But thanks for being with us on. on Mother's Day, and have a great Mother's Day. And
I'm sorry we can't be together for Mother's Day, but I'll look forward to seeing you and the family next week.
Yes, and I will too. And we all love you, and we thank you for everything you do as a mother.
And I love you so much. I'm going to cry.
Go cry. I have a show to do.
I have to say goodbye because I got to go and cry.
Okay, go have a good cry, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay, bye. That's Evelyn Gervey, my mom, crying, getting ready for Mother's Day. I hope you are having the same kind of experience. If you have a mother that you can thank and love, do so. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back with Lisa Bloom and her daughter, Sarah Bloom. We're going to talk about what it's like to have two attorneys, and then when you add Gloria Allred, the grandmother in the family, three attorneys, three generations of lawyers, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Never know how. Hear that screeching sound from your car? It's your brakes yelling, "Change me." So head to any Napa Auto Care Center and we'll replace them for you. Or go to any Napa Auto Parts store and do it yourself. Either way, you'll get a $50 prepaid Visa card by mail on qualifying purchases over $250. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 5/31/18.
It's 3 p.m. and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Napa Know How.
Hear that screeching sound from your car? It's your brakes yelling, "Change me." So head to any Napa Auto Care Center and we'll replace them for you. Or go to any Napa Auto Parts store and do it yourself. Either way, you'll get a $50 prepaid Visa card by mail on qualifying purchases over $250. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 5/31/18.
It's 3 p.m. and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, everyone here in the studio is wiping away tears out of their eyes after that last segment with my mom. Yeah, it was very nice. I'm getting texts, too, people listening saying it's so great to have this kind of relationship with your mom and how comforting it is and to have the love that's so apparent for a parent. So now I'm going to turn my attention to another mother-daughter, actually, I'm not a mother-daughter, but mother-son, but a loving relationship. That's what we have in common. And I don't think it's Lisa's birthday today like it is mine, but she can still wish me a happy birthday. But we want to welcome one of our favorite people on the show, Lisa Bloom. And it's such a great honor today to welcome Lisa's daughter, Sarah Bloom. 3 years ago, almost to the day, we had Gloria Allred on with Lisa Bloom, mother-daughter, for our Mother's Day Spectacular. And today, it's just an incredible feeling to just go to one generation down and say, here's Lisa Bloom with her daughter, attorney Sarah Bloom. Lisa, how proud are you that Sarah has now joined the Bloom firm and she's an attorney just like you?
Well, my heart is swelling with pride, and thank you, Alan, for that very kind introduction. You know, I think you really have to be a parent of an adult child to understand how I feel. You know, I have friends whose adult children work for them, and I was always very jealous. And to have my daughter, who is just a brilliant, hardworking attorney, working for me at my law firm, it really means the world to me, and I'm just extremely proud of her.
You know, I loved the press release when she joined the firm. You said, look at this brilliant feminist attorney who joined my law firm. My hardworking hotshot lawyer daughter, Sarah Bloom. What a way to set people up hearing about your daughter.
Yeah, I guess I'm embarrassing her a little bit with that kind of language, but it is very much how I feel, and it is terrific.
So, Sarah, I got to turn to you now. You're not even in town. Are you in Australia or somewhere?
Yes, I'm currently living in Brisbane, Australia.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. So you're away from your mom, and it's Mother's Day tomorrow. Tell us what it feels like, you know, first of all, being the daughter of Lisa Bloom, and second of all, being part of the firm. It's got obviously big shoes to fill, but the fact is Lisa knows, your mother knows how capable you are.
Yep, you know, nepotism is alive and well. it's really been a great experience, and you know, her firm is really at the forefront of the Me Too movement, and they're doing so many incredible things, not just for women's rights, but for civil rights. And it's something, and those are issues that I really care deeply about. So I don't think it was ever a question of if I would join her firm, but when I would join her firm. So it's really been an exciting experience to be a part of it.
And I don't think you should say nepotism. You have a stellar background. You worked with Brian Cave, a large firm in New York City. You went to Penn, went to Fordham Law School. So you have accomplished things in your own right. And you wrote a published note on criminalizing revenge porn, which is something we've talked about with your mom on the show before. So you can't just say you just walked in and said your name and you got the gig.
Well, Alan, you know, let me underscore that. You know, we have very high standards at my law firm. We're now the biggest civil rights law firm, I believe, in the state. We have 14 lawyers. We're about to hire number 15. And each one of our lawyers, you know, is up against big firm lawyers with thousands, you know, of lawyers at their disposal. And, you know, we really have to be very smart and nimble and creative and bold and strike hard. And so there's no room in my law firm for somebody who's there for any reason other than that they are truly excellent at what they do. So I happen to know that my daughter is an excellent attorney. As you say, she comes from a big firm, and when she left, they were not happy about her leaving. You know, she's an Ivy League grad, as you say, and the revenge porn published article that she has in her law school's law journal is actually very important, because Sarah and I are working together to try to get a revenge porn law passed in New York, which does not have a revenge porn law, unlike 38 other states, and I think that's outrageous, and so does one of the state senators in New York that we're working with. So I was so thrilled that Sarah had joined the firm when the senator reached out to me and said, would you want to work with me on getting a revenge porn law in New York? And I said, yes, and I have the perfect associate to work with me on that, and that's Sarah Bloom. So, you know, I know where Sarah's heart is. I hope that working with our clients, who are generally the underdog against a big, powerful corporation or powerful person, you know, we go up against people like Bill Cosby or Bill O'Reilly or Paul Marciano at Guess and the Guess Company and Steve Wynn. And, you know, our clients are so grateful to us. And, you know, we feel like we are really doing something important for them, just like the work that you do in workers' comp, Alan.
Yeah,
and,
no, I appreciate that.
I hope it's as gratifying for Sarah and for all of the attorneys in our firm as it is for me.
And I'm sure it will be, because you're doing such important work. Sarah, I want to ask you, growing up with Gloria Allred as your grandmother, Lisa Bloom as your mother, do you develop these interests, these passions that Lisa and your grandmother Gloria talk about all the time on your own? Or is it something that you are just kind of following in the footsteps? Or is it how does it all come together for someone who could go in so many different directions?
You know, that's a really great question. It was definitely always present, these issues and these discussions at home. You know, I joke that my grandma, we used to go to her house every Sunday for breakfast, and she would have us debate, my brother and I, who's 2 years younger than me, debate about the death penalty when we were like 6 years old. So these things were always around, and, you know, we would get taken to protests, and my mom and my grandma would always tell us about cases that they were working on. So, and they were, neither of them were ever really overt in, you have to care about this. You know, this is something you have to take up. But just having, you know, the knowledge and the light shined on these issues, I think it was kind of obvious. Like, how do you not care about these things once you have more knowledge about them?
But do
it seemed just obvious to me.
Do you feel pressure, though, when you look at the success that your grandmother and your mother have had to follow in the footsteps? Or is it something that you just feel like it comes from the heart, so it really doesn't matter who came before you in this regard?
You know, absolutely, I do feel the pressure. I'm not gonna.
There, you're honest.
It is. They're very large shoes to fill, but I think it's these issues. There's always going to be work on them. Kind of unfortunately, I don't think the day is going to come where, you know, civil rights, women's rights, equal rights are going to be present for all. So I think there's going to be enough work to do on these things that we can all be a part of it.
You know, it's interesting, knowing Lisa the way that I do, I know that she doesn't put any pressure on her. Lisa, for those of you who don't know her personally, you see her on TV, you see her in press conferences. She's one of the nicest people and accommodating people. And I'm sure that she takes you under her wing with such love and caring, passion, that it doesn't really produce that kind of stress that would kind of hypnotize you or handicap you in any way.
Alan, don't tell my secrets to the world. I want them to think I'm mean and nasty and an ogre.
Well, you know as well as I do that both of us can be very nice, but when the lights are on and we're in court or when we're filing papers, what we're writing, that's for our clients. That's serious. That's not Mr. or Mrs. Nice Guy. It's doing our job and helping people.
If I can tell a brief story about Sarah that I hope doesn't embarrass her too much. I think that Sarah always had her own innate sense of justice and wanting to fight for other people when there was an injustice. You know, when she was a very small child, she has a younger brother, and they were in the playground, and some other little child came up and was threatening her little brother. Sarah put herself in between them physically. She was only about 2 or 3 years old and just sort of stared this guy down until he backed off. And I thought, that's my girl!
There you go.
Such a great little moment. And, you know, another time years later, I remember, Sarah, when you were in college, I think, and some people were talking about gay marriage and saying they didn't believe in gay marriage. And, you know, you really stood up for the rights of LGBT people and said, you know, that's ridiculous. Everybody should be equal. And this was before, of course, we had gay marriage in the U.S. nationwide. You know, I think that people who are fundamentally decent, like both of my children, you know, want to stand up for what's right. I think that's the hallmark of what makes somebody a decent person, a person of character.
You know, Lisa's talked a little bit about Sarah as a child growing up. Sarah, let's turn it around on Lisa. What was it like? What was it like with Lisa being your mother?
I mean, as you said, you know, she just had the most love and she was the most caring mother. But I will tell a funny story. When I was in kindergarten, you know, sometimes she would have to write notes for me, you know, like Sarah had to miss class today. She was sick. And my kindergarten teacher one day had to pull her aside and say, can you please stop writing notes on the back of gruesome murder cases?
You know, it's funny you say that because I was expecting you and I just had a vision of some kind of petition or some kind of, you know, document motion that Lisa was going to file with your kindergarten teachers and then request a court hearing for to excuse your behavior.
So in my defense, you know, I like to recycle. So I had all of this extra paper when it had cases on one side, and I just flipped it over and cut it into squares, and I used that to write notes. And I guess I didn't notice that on the other side were these gory murder cases.
It's got to be intimidating.
She was not a passive parent at all. Like, even in elementary school, they had this this award every month called Citizen of the Month, and it was supposed to go to the best, my mom's laughing, it was supposed to go to the best behaved, like best, hardest working kid in the class, and my mom noticed that it wasn't coming to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course it should be my daughter.
Yeah, and it was going to kids that, you know, were slacking off in class, and so she went to the teacher and said, my daughter works very hard. Why isn't she getting the Citizen of the Month award? And they said, you know, we want to give kids that aren't doing as well so that they can, you know, feel encouraged. And she said, that's not fair.
That's funny.
And I think I probably got the award the next month.
I'm sure you did.
Not very quiet or shy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that some of the teachers may have been intimidated by. And especially, you know, when you add to it your grandmother. I don't know, did Gloria Allred ever get involved in your kindergarten issues? Sarah?
Oh, me. I don't think so, but I think that she definitely got involved in your, some of your class activities, right, Mom?
Yes. So when I was in the sixth grade, we had the faculty student softball game, which meant faculty and male students, because this was back in the Pleistocene era when girls didn't really exist. So I came home and told my mom that, and she said, well, that's ridiculous. Girls should get to play. And I said, well, wait a second. I don't actually want to play softball. I didn't like the idea of these balls whizzing by my head. I was terrible at softball. However, I did have friends who wanted to play, girlfriends. So she she encouraged us to organize and to make picket signs and to picket our school, which we did. And I was good at picketing and making signs. So what I learned from that experience, because we won and the girls got to play for the first time and, of course, played ever after, what I learned from that is, you know, don't agonize, organize, and get everybody together. And everybody doesn't have to be good at everything, and play to your best strength. And that was a very good learning experience for me.
You know, it is important, and it reminds me of last week's show. Last week, we did a show on RBG, the documentary film on Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I can't wait to see that.
So we had Betsy West and Julie Cohn on the show. Those are the co-directors, and they talked a lot, and I did see the film. It's really something, and I'd encourage everyone to see it. But you talk about back in the day, things that we take for granted now that they never did back then. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg went to Harvard, there were nine women out of 540 students, nine women. And now, you know, you're looking at it and it's close to half, if not half. So just these little things like Gloria Allred going to the sixth grade class at Lisa Bloom's school, making sure that the women were, or the girls at that point were playing. They really make a difference. And I think Sarah, as the granddaughter, can see how things have changed over time for people because of people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Gloria Allred, Lisa Bloom. And that's really a legacy to continue. You know, Sarah, I know it's bigger than life, but how do you go about starting your career at the Bloom firm, taking one step at a time to have that kind of impact?
You know, I think that that's a great point, that, you know, the older generations really broke down these barriers that we take for granted, but there's still so many barriers and I think now more misconceptions about, you know, common issues we have. For example, I was just researching something for a case yesterday about, you know, the myths of rape and sexual assault and how people still think that, you know, rape and sexual assault are, you know, a stranger in a dark alley when, you know, here we have so many things with the Me Too movement showing that it's usually an acquaintance or it can be even a partner. So I think there's still a long way to go. And I think using personal experience and issues that you care about, like for me, I really do care about, you know, revenge porn and women's rights. And these are just things that, you know, my peers and people my age are going through. And I think being able to relate on that level is helping me trying to make the biggest impact that I can.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I would say one of the things that Sarah has taught me is how devastating cyber harassment can be, which is what revenge porn is. I think some of us who are older, you know, may not realize how serious it is. I mean, girls have killed themselves over explicit images being posted. And I'm very pleased that in California, it's both a crime, a civil wrong, and a form of domestic abuse. And we had a couple of great victories last year in revenge porn cases on behalf of Black China and Misha Barton and another client. But there's a lot of work still to do. So I think, you know, we older generation people can learn from the younger generation about the newer women's issues and what they are, you know, and we all have to really listen and be open to hearing what the issues are for each generation.
Right. You know, we had Misha Barton on the show with you, and that really opened up my eyes. And I have a young daughter, 4 years old, Harper, and I think about her moving forward. And, you know, I look at her innocent face now, thinking about what life is going to be like in 10, 15 years for her. And that's why this work is so important, to establish laws and establish guidelines that will help little girls like Harper as they grow older. We have a few more minutes. I want to go over just quickly, Lisa, a couple cases. You know, you've been in the news about this Steve Wynn thing. Is he blind or what? Why, he can't see?
Okay, first of all, Harper is a really cute name. Sarah, take note for my future grandchild.
okay, I'm writing it down.
She's writing it down.
Steve Wynn. So I represented three women accusing Steve Wynn of sexual harassment. People may know that a large group of women have accused Steve Wynn of sexual harassment, up to and including rape. And I put out a press release about one of them. And then Steve Wynn sued me personally. So there's now a case, Steve Wynn versus Lisa Bloom. And if Steve Wynn thinks that I'm going to be silenced or I'm going to be cowed, he's got another thing coming. So I have a great First Amendment lawyer in Nevada where he sued me, and we are filing our motion to dismiss, which is our request to the court to throw the whole case out this week, and it's going to be very powerful. And I think we're going to win, and we're going to get attorney's fees, and we're going to get statutory penalties against him.
Well,
and, you know, I don't like being sued, but I will say if it had to be anybody, I'm glad it's me. Because I want to show women what we can do.
And you can take care of yourself.
If somebody tries to come after us.
Yeah, you can take care of yourself.
And I can take care of myself. I think I'm a pretty good lawyer,
you know,
and I think I know how to beat Steve. I think the Me Too movement is more powerful even than an unemployed billionaire.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, we've run out of time, but I want to have you back because there's these issues that we want to talk about, what happens in the Steve Wynn case. There's other cases that we want to talk about we don't have time for. Today it was mostly about mom and daughter because it's Mother's Day tomorrow, and I want to thank you, Lisa, and you, Sarah, of the Bloom Firm, both of you of the Bloom Firm, for being our mother-daughter special guests today. And I'll give you one chance to wish each other good wishes, because I know you're not in the same room right now and for Mother's Day. So, Sarah, go ahead. Tell Lisa.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And I am actually going to be in L.A. in about a week. So we'll have a belated Mother's Day celebration that I can't wait for.
Yay. Mother's Day present of all. I love you, Sarah. Thank you so much. You make me so proud every day. And to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much. Sarah, what a pleasure to have you. You sound great. I'm looking forward to having you back on the show and talking about some of the cases you're working on. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Have a great Mother's Day, everyone. Lisa, Sarah, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Alan, and hugs to little Harper.
Oh, for sure. And Hudson, too. We don't want to forget little Hudson.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks
take care. Absolutely.
Okay, take care, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you get instant gold status and save 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day. And if you join between now and May 27th, you can save an additional 25 cents per gallon on your second fill. But you'll feel like you're reaching up and high-fiving a million angels. To join, download the Fuel Rewards app and start saving today. Offer subject to gold status. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full terms and conditions. Restrictions apply. For 25 cents per gallon bonus, 5 gallon minimum purchase required on first fill.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm happy to have identification on the victim, but now comes the hard part.
I have to go back and explain to these people that their son and brother has been murdered. It's the worst part of the job, but it has to be done. I need them to help out in the investigation. My job is to find out who did it. There's no option to fail at it.
Yeah, that's some serious stuff. And we've had quite a show today talking about Mother's Day, talking about the relationships between a mother and a daughter, Lisa Bloom and Sarah Bloom, and having my mother on the show. Now we're going to kind of change things up a little bit, because it's such an important story we want to talk about. And what a great show on Investigation Discovery, Murder Chose Me, which premiered in 2017. But we want to talk about the backstory of Detective Rod Demery, who is the star of the show, of Murder Chose Me. And what a background. His mother was actually murdered when he was 3 years old. And we need to talk about this and see how he has handled it and become such an inspiration to so many people with this television show called Murder Chose Me. Detective Rod Demery, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. And, you know, before we get into the show and in your career as a really impressive detective on murder cases, let's talk a little bit about how this is in your blood, because you speak so eloquently about how murder chose you and how the truth rises to the surface. But it comes really naturally because your mother was murdered when you were a small boy. Isn't that true?
Yeah. I was 3 years old. My mother was in a relationship that was abusive. She got married after I was about a year old and my brother was two. Obviously it escalated to the point where he shot her. He shot her 9 times as she was trying to leave him.
Wow.
My memory of my mother is very sketchy. I don't remember a lot about her other than what people told me. But I do remember my grandmother and my grandmother's grief and the fact that her daughter was murdered and she had to raise my brother and I, my grandfather's concern and his worry, and the fact that the guy was never brought to justice. That caused a lot of, I don't know, I guess it just moved a lot of things inside me.
All right, I can imagine. I mean, what a tough childhood. So what was it like growing up without a mother? Obviously, your grandmother had a great impact. And, you know, we talk about Mother's Day tomorrow, and you think you never had a chance to get to know your mother like so many other people do.
Right. I think about that, but my memory of my mother was so, it was so scarce. You know, in my memory is more of my grandmother. And, I think the way it affected me was it was an identity thing. You know, I always wondered, you know, what my mother looked like, what she would be like if she held me, and all those things that came to my mind when Mother's Day came.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything to reference it to. It's not, you know, I wasn't able to say, well, it was like this until she was killed. It's just something that I've always known. It's always been an emptiness.
So that weighed on you as you got older, and then you suffered another tragedy with your brother and another murder.
Right. I had just gotten back from a deployment while I was in the military. And when I got back, my brother had committed a murder. I was probably mid-20s at the time, and that was pretty tough. It was easier to forgive the man who killed my mother than it was my brother for what he did. It took me about 15 years before I could get to a place where he and I could actually talk. But, I felt my brother owed me something, and he knew what the pain and the ramifications were, and he did it anyway. So I think it was a little more difficult for me to forgive him.
How did you approach him after that when you talk about what happened and your obvious feelings for the victim, but he's your brother? How did you deal with that?
Well, I think that was just a part of my maturity, especially my spiritual maturity. My grandparents obviously raised me in a church, and forgiveness was something that I'd always heard about, but I never really had to exercise it. As I grew older and matured mentally, I was able to realize that my brother was separate from what he did. So I was able to separate the crime from the criminal. Those two things are pretty important. You know, I was able to relate to the survivors of homicide victims, and I could relate to a homicide suspect as at some point they were somebody's brother or somebody's sister. You know, they played G.I. Joes or Cub Scouts or all the things that my brother and I did. It was just difficult to navigate that, I guess when I was a little younger. But as I got older, getting close to 40, I think I started to realize that there was a separation there.
And your brother's still in prison now?
He is. My brother's been in prison for about 24 years now.
And what is his sentence?
25 to life.
So you're waiting to see what happens, whether he will get out or not?
You know, that's a difficult question. Ironically, after my show aired last season, I got mail and messages from lots of people. And, you know, I kind of weed through them. One, I actually made a phone call. I called a young lady. She explained that her father had been killed when she was 3, and she related that to my mother being killed when I was 3. We had a conversation, and she revealed to me that my brother was the person who killed her father.
Wow.
So that created a lot of different emotions there. And I think her concern was is that, as most, that I would be of a mind where I wanted my brother to be released from prison. And, you know, I can't say that. I can say that I can forgive my brother for what he did to me and our family, but I certainly am no position to forgive him for what he did to her and her family. And, you know, it's a struggle. It's an emotional struggle.
I can imagine.
But I certainly won't put myself in a position to make that call.
And also, you know, that's what the law is for. I don't think it is your position. Obviously, you have emotions, but you can only do so much. Speaking of how much you've done, I mean, it's crazy when you look at your record in the Shreveport Police Department and the number of murder cases that you were involved with as a detective. Was it over 250 cases?
Yeah, I think it was about 254.
Wow. And
right.
As the legend has it, and I'm saying that because now you're a TV star, but before you were a TV star, it says that you were successful in about 99 to 100% of those cases. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And those were cases that I was primary investigator on, and they're all solved 100%. There was one case that was solved, but before I was able to make the arrest, I got transferred out of the unit, so someone else had to take over. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, you say that it's been your mission in life, you know, you're getting the confessions and that the truth will rise to the surface. Murder wants to be seen and heard. These are your words. How were you able to put that in practice first as a police detective?
I think the first step was suspension of judgment. And, you know, I guess that was from my brother's crimes that he committed, that I was able to actually see the person rather than what they did. I was completely non-judgmental, and that wasn't by accident. You know, I think that was by divine and God's design that I didn't have that emotion. And on the other side, I had an incredible determination to find out the truth for the people who were survivors of the victims. It was impossible for me to go to someone's house and tell them that they're son, mother, daughter,
yeah,
or whatever was murdered and not bring some sort of resolve. You know, and again, that's probably from watching my grandparents go through the anguish they did for, you know, my entire life.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how did the Murder Chose Me show become a reality? Did they approach you, or had they heard about you and your record of solving murder cases?
Well, the production company, Jupiter Entertainment, they had another show on TV One, Fatal Attraction, which they interviewed me for on a case that I worked. It was of a pregnant girl who was killed by her boyfriend. Then they interviewed me for another, and they asked me would I be interested in doing another project. Well, I would have never guessed in a million years that it was my own project.
But,
it happened literally just like that. You know, I guess it was their research and finding the cases that I worked in, kind of my history in the police department, and they wanted to bring it to life. And, you know, that's just an amazing blessing and accomplishment.
Yeah, and the show has gotten such great reviews. There's so many stories that you've brought to light, and some of them are really unique, and they have their twists and turns. It's in its second season now, and it just seems that there's so many stories to be told. How do you get motivated for each one? Because they all have a different twist and a different cast of characters.
Well, I got to tell you, as I said before, I had a problem with identity when I was growing up. And, you know, my mother's murder was sort of an anonymous thing. It was 1969. There were no women's rights, and she's black. And there, you know, so it was difficult for people to even know who she was. She was anonymous.
Yeah.
With the show, it kind of immortalizes all those people, including my mother. You know, there were people in Bangladesh, you know, who my mother's name, or some girl or boy that was killed in the inner city that are, you know, barely out of their teens. There are people from South Africa offering prayers and condolences. I think the motivation is that there are so many people from all over the world that come together for this particular victim and their family. And yeah, that's just an amazing feeling to know that, you know, I played, you know, just a small part in that. It's just,
yeah,
it's incredible.
It's really incredible. And the show is really worth watching. Now, people can watch on Investigation Discovery. Is that right? Is there any other ways to watch some of the shows that have already aired?
Yeah, ID, Investigation Discovery. They have an amazing app called ID Go, where they can go back. And I think the first season is completely unlocked now, or they can watch for free. Anyways, that app, you can download that app and kind of catch up on the show and read some of the history and get to know some of the people that are involved. Yeah, it's just pretty interesting. And I know that obviously it's aired every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central at 10 Eastern. So it's in the middle of the season now.
So you have about four shows left. Next show is Wednesday, May 16th, and it's called Fair Game. That sounds like an intriguing show, so people can check that out on Investigation Discovery. Rod Demery, I want to thank you for telling your story and for doing everything that you do and have done to help victims of serious crimes. Thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. That's going to do it for Gervie's Law today. Don't forget to wish me a happy birthday. Go on Facebook on Gervie's Law. Wish me a happy birthday. Enjoy your Mother's Day, and all love to all mothers. Thanks for listening.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.